tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
No, I'm always like this.
Uh-oh, where are we?
I don't know, wherever it is, it's deep and it's dark. It's
very serious.
This is not the specials.
Message to you, Rudy.
That's okay.
Bates Motel theme?
Bates Motel.
It's the Bates Motel theme.
I like it. Okay. Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show.
This is music that tells you something's going to happen.
This is what they gave me, guys. I'm sorry. That's fine. That is not what we were expecting. I'm doing creepy stuff today. Deal with it.
Emma in a car with some weed. Come on now.
Yeah, Carl.
Let's try this again. Welcome to the After Buzz After Bates Motel After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. Joined as always by my main man Nando Velasquez.
Hello, everybody. I'm good.
Good, and also joined by the lovely Dua Casey. How are you, Dua?
I'm good. How are you? It looks like you guys called each other to coordinate your wardrobes.
We did. They look cute, don't they?
They do.
Oh, I'll tell you.
And I'm also joined for once in his goddamn life.
That's a little fierce right there.
Joe Sanfilippo. Nice to show up today, Joe.
Nice to be here with you guys.
It's good
for
to see you
once
in
my goddamn life.
I forgot
life.
What you look like. I forgot your beautiful face.
Oh, well, you can look at it all you want.
I'm done looking at it.
I appreciate it.
Thanks
that.
For joining us. Episode 3. Yeah, man. This was good. This was a good one.
Persuasion.
We're getting there. We're getting there towards the... We're seeing the Norman psychosis starting to happen. You know, there was an interview with Carlton Cuse that I saw or read. I think it was actually on the website, talking about Norman's journey, like this whole journey that we're taking from season 1 to season 5, 50 episodes. And this is in season 3, this is sort of the turning point, right? So this is the season where we actually see Norman go from the sweet little boy that we know in seasons 1 and 2 to the Norman Bates we know in Psycho. This is the season we're seeing it.
He's becoming Psycho.
And so really, that's clever. And so we're seeing this, and so episode 3 of this progression, we're starting to see some chinks, some cracks there. We'll talk about it later, but that last scene, his complete meltdown, starting with his conversation with Emma, going on to his argument with his mom, and to his final sort of bathtub scene was, you know, we saw it twice, and the second time I saw it, it was super sad to me. The first time I was freaked out and like, oh my god. Second time I'm sad. I'm rooting and hoping it's hope that Norman doesn't turn into Psycho, but I guess he's going to. Anyway,
I would say, based on linear storytelling and my limited experience, I don't think we have a choice.
I know.
Unless they decide to go a completely different
way. Alternate universe. This is Carlton Cuse from Lost.
Yeah.
Alternate universe.
So you're
where Norman.
It's all on the table.
Norman becomes a flower salesman. He moves to Seattle.
He just taxidermies neighbor's dogs when
exactly.
they're not looking.
You, Joe Sanfilippo.
Yeah.
I'll start with you. What were your first impressions? What do you think of this episode? I haven't heard from you in a while.
I'm going to say this. I have this. There's such good acting that happens in this show,
yeah.
And I love me some Norma. I love her in a deep, sort of probably unhealthy way.
I didn't know that.
I know. I've never mentioned it before. I've never said anything about the performance.
Never heard of it.
I thought it was fantastic. I just love watching the show, and it's one of those shows that for me I get so excited when we come and do this because it's actually worth it. Some of these shows that we do, they're not. I mean, they make sense. We do. It makes sense to do a recap.
Careful.
But it doesn't make sense to to delve into every little nuance because a lot of it's just TV. But this show doesn't feel like that to me. It feels like the performances go a little deeper, and there's so much more exploration of what's going on and the different layers. And they killed it. I think Norma and Norman, what they've got going there, and the relationship that they're writing for them, and all the stuff going on in his head, all the stuff in reality, the subtle differences with the way she's playing Norma in his head versus Norma in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't be happier with what they're doing. It's impossible.
There's some Top Gun acting happening on the show. Some really serious acting.
Top Gun acting.
Not just from Freddie Highmore and Vera Farmiga, who we give a lot of credit to, but everyone, Emma.
Yeah.
And really, like, props to our man, Nestor Carbonell, Sheriff Romero.
Yes.
He's kind of acting his ass off in
this. He's killing it.
Especially, like, this episode especially. He had a lot to do in his own sort of, like, brooding, mysterious way. We're seeing a lot of
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This guy, because when his only move is to brood and be mysterious, for him to have all those layers, and that's the first thing. The second thing is, we can say, we know this guy. He's been in here twice. He's a great guy. Like, he is so not Sheriff Romero. So to see Nestor Carbonell and hang out with that guy and then see the guy that's on TV, it's really, you realize, oh, wow, that's called acting.
Yeah.
He's good. What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was great. And actually, just to piggyback on what you were saying, I love that they've got so much of Romero, and they're also bringing up new storylines, like with Romero and the Bob Harrison's character, like over at the place. What's it called? The
Arcanum Club.
The Arcanum Club. With all of, like, the big, you know, the animals.
Taxidermy and the big leather high-back chairs and service smoking cigars and laughing.
And the eyes wide shut party that they're all having right now.
It's like Joe's living room.
Yeah. Honest to God, that is how we do it.
It's show study.
I have to sit in my chair while the women do things around me.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
I like that they opened up a few new storylines this episode with you know, Norma's going back to school. Emma finally met Dunkel, #Dunkel.
Yes.
Like that. I think that they're opening up the door for a lot of new things to come, and it's just getting more and more exciting. I really like it.
I agree. Nando, what do you have to say?
I love this episode. It was a great episode. To see Freddie Highmore, you know, even go deeper into the personas of Norman Bates and his alter ego stuck in there. Mother Norma. I really felt like there were some moments when like during the whole Romero interview where he was really channeling a different person altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a key scene,
which I thought was awesome. And just even seeing the whole thing with the bathtub. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw a little bit of that in teasers. We didn't know in what context it was, but that's pretty deep because I think it shows how committed this alter ego is to, just getting in Norman's head. I have a lot of questions on that one too. But
yeah.
I think that
we'll unpack the bathtub scene, that last scene, of course.
Yeah.
But first, let's take it back to the top. Unpack the bathtub. There'll be water in the bathtub. And Norman. Let's start from the top here. I want to first, pat myself vigorously on the back.
Aww. I know. We were wrong. That. You were right.
Yeah,
we're wrong.
Turns out that was not Annika floating in the old, what do you call it? The sound?
The crick there? Or
the mash.
The mash.
The mash.
The mash.
This is Oregon, not Massachusetts.
Sorry, we'll do it wherever we want to do it.
That was not Annika floating in the
marsh. It
was
most certainly not.
I was
what
right.
was her name, though?
Her name was Flabberty Flu.
Well, she was another very high-priced car.
I don't think they said her name.
They never said her name.
No. $10,000 a weekend.
Yeah, that's a good.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a week's worth of work for me.
Mm. Yeah, it's not a bad way to put yourself through college.
Half of my AfterBuzz salary. Right. no, but yeah.
The zeros are.
Sorry. it was not her. That was cool. We get to that cool reveal in the morgue with Norma, walking up, and first she's so sure, like, oh, the toenail polish, it's her. And then the reveal, when it's clearly not her, but she goes right up to her grill, like nose to nose. Nope, it's not her. How long did it take you to figure that out, Norma?
Wouldn't you, if you were directing the episode, wouldn't you absolutely insist that the girl playing the corpse, bah, at some point? Wouldn't you just be like, you have to do this?
Can't worry for those outtakes.
Right, we'll tap you on the toe, you have to do it.
I almost feel like, I would bet anything, though, that was sort of a Vera Farmiga choice. It was like, you come in, you look at the body, you do what you're going to do. And I'm sure it was her, she's like, Norma would get right up in there. And she did. And I thought that was really
and
cool.
And the toenail polish thing was kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
They have the same toenail polish.
So, I mean, yeah.
Maybe that was part of the...
It's her toenail polish, yeah.
Well, maybe that's part of the casting. Maybe you have to, everyone has to have the same toenail polish if you're coming to the Arcanum Club.
Well, I have a theory, and I'll share that with you later.
Okay. You've been thinking of that.
I'm
excited about my theory. And, of course, it's probably wrong. Like, all of my predictions are wrong.
You're not.
This is my theory.
I cannot wait to hear this theory. But I will say... I think that bit with Norma coming in, it kind of reminded me of a bit of her amateur detective Norma, the Scooby-Doo Norma. She's like sneaking in. It's like, oh, it's her. The Tony likes her. And she's like, oh,
I've cracked the case.
Yeah, she's cracked it. And then it wasn't her at all, which is good. And then so she goes home and, you know, maybe threw up on herself a bit because the morgue's gross.
Yeah.
and has that sort of like, you know, very dismissive confrontation with Norman.
Well, it's funny that it's all over now. Like now that she knows that Norman didn't kill this girl, she could care less about where Annika is.
Yeah.
And Norman's like, well, what about Annika? She's still, it's over. I've got a school tomorrow. I've got things to worry about. Yeah. Don't worry about it. And like, bam.
Back to thinking about myself.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
It's a great point. I think that this is to be said that like her only reason for really the intense interest in what happened to Annika is the fear that Norman did it.
And that's of course.
Yeah. But that also feeds into like, you know, she's trying to protect Norman. And now that it's done, thank God it's over, but she's back to treating Norman like shit, essentially.
Yeah.
All right, beat it, kid. It's fine. It's over. You're not a no. I mean, correct?
Yeah, correct.
All right. So that was the first hint of maybe like a little bit of tension between Norman and Norma. Norman didn't like the way he should be so dismissive of it. Like, mm-hmm. she's a person, mother, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, she's still out there and all that stuff. And so that was kind of cool. But then there's this weird reveal, which I had no idea, none of us had any idea. She's like, I can't do this now. I've got to get ready for school. I'm like, what, school? Like, Norman's going to school. That could be its own show, by the way. That's like its own web series. Like Community.
Like Yahoo. Welcome back, Norma.
I would watch the crap out of that web series. Just Norma, like, bumping around Community College.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Like, anyway. So Norma goes to school. And, you know, this is the thing about the show that's great, because it's like there's so much of the show, as intense as the show is, as scary as it can be at times. There's a lot of humor here. There's a lot of humor in Norma. There's a lot of humor in the way Vera plays Norma. And now we've got to the point in the show where we as the audience kind of like, we're laughing at her and with her. So the idea of like, I've got to go to school, we're all like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we get there in the semicircle bit. That was just,
that was genius. It was it was so genius.
Yeah, all of it said a lot about, I mean, there's just so many things, the layers that were happening there, the fact that it just gives a perfect picture as to who Norma is and what she's willing not willing to do, and the supreme irony that it's actually a psychology class, and she's like, just, you know, cards are face up playing poker, like they're all on the table, like, I'm crazy. Look at these. Psychology, look at these. Yeah. Four aces
of crazy.
Four aces of crazy.
I'm the queen of crazy.
And I feel like
Nando hates me. Nando doesn't like crazy. I'm sorry.
Like the way that the teacher actually played that, when he was like, oh, you're leaving, and he was like, are you sure you don't need the psychology class?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, that bit of disgust in that shot, and then she's gone.
Which he kindly apologized for later.
He did.
He did.
And he might have been laying a little bit something down there.
What was he laying down? A little psychology rap?
Well, one way or the other.
Community college teacher rap?
You could interpret it either way. He's laying a little something down on the ground, or he's saying, you know, I have a small business where I treat people who are crazy. You seem
small
crazy. Business?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, I mean, he's a
misheard you.
He called it the secret club of the damaged, where damaged people can identify other damaged people. Pretty much saying, I know your number from here on out if you ever want to talk. And I felt like it was...
You're saying he's got a small practice that he's trying to get her to come to and pay money to.
I thought that he was...
That's how psychiatrists work. You pay them when you talk to them.
I thought he was
genuinely
trying to
help. You're screwed up, you talk to them, and hopefully they unscrew you up. Isn't that the idea?
I thought he was just coming as a friend.
I thought that he was being genuine as well. I didn't think that it was a racket. I thought that he was genuinely...
That doesn't make it a racket. If you go to McDonald's, you buy a hamburger, them selling you the hamburger, it wasn't a racket. Sold you a thing.
That's sure how they get you.
That's how they get you. Sure. The first hamburger's charged, too, and then the second hamburger you pay for. No, if you go to see a shrink, you should pay for it.
Did you feel like he was being sincere?
Yes, of course. That doesn't negate the idea that he's trying to make some money. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Right.
Okay. Or he's trying to get, you know, trying to get enormous pants. That's possible,
that's
too.
That's what I thought.
I know.
Oh.
With his small business.
With his small business.
Oh, I have a small business. Can I get into your pants?
Nando, I'm sorry to hear that, but yes.
How did you read that, Nando?
Well, the whole thing's fine. I mean, look, Norma going in, even before she went to the school, she's like, I'm going to be like everybody's mother. I'm so old. You know, she's all obviously very neurotic and nervous about herself. So, of course, the whole thing's brilliant. And just the whole play with the professor... you know, what was his name? James Flanagan was the name of the professor. Mr. Flanagan. Taking his seat and barely even moving it. And just, it's like, for someone who's really concerned about what other people think, she's just very defiant and doing...
Well, it's those whatever. Moments where she felt that there was no possibility of repercussion. I love that idea. I love that it's a nuance to the character that I don't know if she adds it or if they write that in.
Right.
Where it's, I will kiss everybody's ass that I have to, and I'll be concerned about the people I have to be concerned about, but these people are students. I don't give a shit what they think.
Right.
And I will absolutely take a swing at them. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And I love that. Because it's just a moment of pettiness because there's so much going on. And it's a little extra character stuff. Like, Norma will take a shot at someone who has no way to swing back. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought he was very earnest. I thought he is super earnest. And he came out in his nice little beard and his everything else. He's very earnest. He said, look, you know, I'm such a dick. Mm-hmm. And Norma says, I guess we're all dicks sometimes.
Which is he keeps basically inviting her to apologize for being an asshole too. And she's like, no.
We're all dicks.
Yeah.
And then also that moment, like, we've seen so much of Norma react and do exactly the exact thing you expect her to do. In this moment where he handed her the card, I really thought she would do the move of like rip it in front of him or thank you and then throw it in his face. And then I was kind of disappointed. She's like, oh, she just took it. And then of course she took it and threw it. I'm like, that's the Norma I know.
Yeah. But I feel like she's growing as a character because she went back.
Yes.
And she picked it up. Mm-hmm. And I loved that wide shot as he's walking away and you see the damage to the car from where she hit that sign.
Yeah.
That was a hilarious shot.
Again, gives a take to the car like,
We're all like,
that's Norma. That's her.
There's your damage.
Yeah.
Do you think that she picked the card up on the possibility that he might see that she had not taken the card? Or do you think she took it because she might need to talk to
him? She didn't care. Norma's all about Norma.
I thought that she took it. Well, first of all, I don't think that she gives a shit what he thinks about anything because she is very self-centered. But I thought that she took it perhaps either because she's growing as a person or because she thinks that Norman may need help.
Right.
Which is why... You know, because she already has had an interlude with a therapist, and that didn't go very well.
That's a great point. I never thought. See, I this whole time thought she was thinking, well, maybe I'll take this for myself. But you're right. Yeah. Because it's Norma. She's like, well, I'm fine. But
Because they're so codependent that they are the same people.
She did say,
you're pretty smart there with them takes.
She did say last week, you know, I don't know what to do with you. To Norman in the car.
Right.
So she was getting exasperated.
Well, last week she was convinced that he'd murdered the...
this week she's just getting yelled at and, you know, attacked and getting told to go in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah.
I know where the kitchen is, mother.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that was a great scene. Pivotal scene.
Before we get to that.
I do want to mention one more thing they do with the schools, and they did it the last couple seasons too, and I think it's so great. The school becomes the only normal, not only, but one of the moments that they have where they can make the town seem normal. Mm-hmm. Like the community college. The town seems like a normal town. Mm-hmm. You know, when Norma would be going to high school, it seems like a normal high school. Then you go up in the woods with Dylan and Caleb, and it seems like a creepy, weird place where weird things happen. You go to the hotel, creepy, weird place, weird things happen.
Right.
But I love when they find. I think they get excited too. Like here we can actually put some normal in this.
Yeah, this is a real town. White Pine Bay is not a town of freaks.
This is normal people doing normal people stuff,
and they can introduce more characters as well. It really opens up those gates.
Right. Your use of normal reminds me, like, that's a great drinking game for Bates Motel every time you hear the word normal, because they use normal at least twice an episode. Yep. So it's a fun drinking game for watching Bates Motel. Like, every time you hear normal, take a drink, and you'll probably be wasted.
I'm still wasted.
all right. So the other thing I want to talk about is Romero takes that nice visit to go see our band Kevin Ram, a.k.a.
Bob Harris.
A.K.A. Ted.
From their
A.K.A.
Club.
Ted Shaw. And, that was a great scene. We finally get to see him, not in his chair. We get a sense of his personality. We still don't know what he is or who he is.
In mystery.
Or how important he is. But he's in the den of the Arcanum Club, presumably, with, taxidermy everywhere and high back chairs and leather and all the stuff you'd expect. There's also a bit of a game. Romero's been waiting there for a little bit. Looks like he's waiting there.
Half an hour.
Yeah, half an hour. And he's like, oh, my assistant must have got that wrong. And of course, you know that's not true.
No, but it shows that he has no respect for him. Like, I have no respect for you because I'm going to be a half an hour late.
Well, it's also a bit of a power play.
Yeah, it's a status thing. Like, you waited for me because I have higher status than you.
Right.
And you didn't remember that for a second, so I wanted to remind you.
It's kind of like we waited for Joe to start the show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Flip-flop did that to us earlier. Flip-flop Kevin rammed us earlier.
Hoist on your own petard.
No, it's like Braswell. It's like, hello, Potch. This is Kettle.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's your instant karma.
I was so happy with my joke.
Joe just spilled his water all over his iPad.
And you know, not for anything, that was a solid joke. That was a solid joke right there.
You can throw me Joe's t-shirt. He doesn't need it. Thank you. It was a solid joke, but... Oh, am I getting electrocuted? Sorry, everyone on YouTube and iTunes.
Well, anyway, the point being, you know, we have Sheriff Romero. I think for the first time, I think for the first time, at least in this show, we're seeing how small town politics work.
Yep.
I mean, you're the sheriff until I say you're not anymore,
right?
And and we'll find someone to replace your happy ass, and that's it.
Do they normally vote for sheriffs? Is that normally
yeah,
the way?
Yeah,
that's,
oh, yeah.
That's
the thing. Sheriffs and judges.
You better believe it.
Oh,
yeah. And sheriffs and judges and so, partisan lines, baby.
So with a small town like that, it doesn't take much money to bounce the sheriff out, and you know you create enough of a problem for the sheriff, and he can go, and it's kind of a. It's that check on a sheriff's power. Otherwise, a sheriff would just be, you know, if he's there for life, forget it, become a fiefdom.
Well,
so,
right.
So I mean, it's interesting to kind of see that play out. Like, hey, you don't have to be the sheriff.
Well, yeah. but also sort of the point I was trying to make is like we also get a little more. We get little snippets into not only who this man is. What one more time?
Bob Harris.
We get some insight into Bob. His we know he's powerful. We know he has some power control. We know he has a history with Romero.
We know he likes sex.
there's that. But back and forth was very interesting.
Very unique.
I love, what's worse, sex parties or a drug war that causes the DEA to come and eliminate your town's number one source of income?
Well, yeah. but he says that to him. He sort of says, like, you know, look, you have no moral superiority over me.
Yeah.
Like, you let this town go to hell, and the DEA comes into the town. I throw a sex party. Get out of here.
Now, we talked about this all the first season, all last year. We talked about what is Sheriff Romero's job? Is it to enforce the law or to keep the shit in the horse?
Right.
And this scene pretty much cleared that up beyond any doubt.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Your job is to keep the shit in the horse.
But
period.
There's a bit of Sheriff Romero that I'm getting to understand, which is like, this is still my town. So no one's going to get murdered in my town. No one's going to do anything in this town that I don't know about. There is a sense of law, but it reminds me of an old school Western sheriff.
More of a morality than a law.
Yeah,
more of a moral code.
It's like
not a law.
Like a little bit like Banshee. I don't know if you guys watch Banshee, but a little bit like Banshee, where it's like, this is the town. Here's a rule book. Let's throw that out. I'm going to be the law. It's going to be governed how I say it is. I know how to keep the shit in the horse.
Well, don't forget that the reason that he went to go see Bob Harris is because the girl was dead. He goes, hey, there's a girl that's dead.
Yeah.
He obviously inferring that it came from the sex party, and he was like, you know,
right.
And so that is very, that I just think is interesting that's not something that would be odd at all. You know, a girl's dead. I know that she came from your sex party.
Right.
And he's like, don't you talk to me about morals.
Right. Well, and the other thing is we've seen this from Romero a lot. We've seen a lot of like, Romero will not be challenged. He's there to do his job. Although he is there to keep the shit in the horse.
Right.
But like, he'll get in the guy's face in a second. I'll burn you to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like
we've heard in my town.
Every season we see Romero get in someone's grill and say like, don't F with me.
And they shouldn't because they always lose.
Exactly. This time too, they have that scene where they look directly in each other's eyes and they lean in. There's mm-hmm. a big to camera moment with Nestor leaning in, sort of saying like, you know, I'll get to the bottom of this.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yes, he's not. I loved it. So I don't know. So we'll see. And it's interesting to find out to what extent, you know, Kevin Ram, Bob Harris is involved in the town, because there's something about White Pine Bay. There's a lot of powerful, like weird, rich, powerful people in this town, and you feel like. Mm-hmm. You know, we got rid of the couple in season one.
Yeah.
Some more pop up in season two.
Yeah.
We get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And now the town's full, you know, rid of all the rich, super powerful criminals. And then, you know, Bob Harris pops up.
Yeah.
So, like, how many rich, rich criminals are there in the small town?
Well, do you think that Bob Harris invited Marcus? Because did you guys, Marcus?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So was the reason that Marcus is there.
Absolutely.
Now running for sheriff, and he walks in and immediately says, you know, I just flashed my badge and I got in here. Security is a risk. Now, is that a direct threat right off the bat saying, I am a security risk for you?
I think he's just messing with his head.
He's just taking a shot at him.
As what men say.
It's like if you meet somebody who's dating your ex-girlfriend, you look at his car and it looks like crap. You're like, ah, you're
nice car.
It's a nice car you got there, buddy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's the same thing. It was
a pissing contest.
A little bit of dick swinging.
We wear pants now, so we can't just check. So we have to find other ways.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure it was impressive. Whatever
I don't know.
You were doing.
I just meant to do this when I said the thing I said. You know, but that, yeah, it's that's you know, yeah.
Those of you on iTunes are missing out on all the all the hand motions.
It is a it's a pissing contest. You're right. It's a whole idea of like, you know, hey man, how you doing, buddy? Oh, nice security you got here. Oh, Murray, if you need any help, let me know.
Wow, is that a sheriff? Is that an O2? I have an O2. I remember those. That's cute.
Back in the day.
And Romero was like, well, one CD player.
Romero's like, well, you might. This is the last time you'll be in this office.
I know. He's like, I'm glad you got to see my office, but it was the last time you'll be in there.
Yeah. And then that cool, very cool thing, the last thing, the pat on the back. You know, Romero didn't like that at all.
Totally.
Touch me, I'll break you off.
Those are two very specific instances where, like, these, where, you know, you see some real men on men stuff. Like, you know, Romero and Harris and Romero and Marcus are two.
And then you've got the mirror of it with Caleb and Dylan and the dude next door.
Exactly.
There's a whole lot of butt heads.
Being dudes. Speaking of Caleb, Caleb is back really, really trying to bottom with Dylan, and it looks like he's cracking Dylan a little bit. Like he's kind of getting
He bought him some cedar.
I've said it
for years. You want to make a friend, buy him a whole shit ton of cedar.
buy him some cedar.
That's how we do it here in Los Angeles.
That's how we do it. I got a forklift outside. Joe's going to go home with some cedar.
Just like in Hollywood. Like,
I brought you some cedar.
Yeah. That's how Ron Offerman does it in Parks and Rec.
I bought you some cedar.
Very good cedar.
I really do like this little family, the little Gunner, Dylan, Caleb sort of like woodsy family they got going on there. I mean, you know, Caleb's playing a little Smoke on the Water badly and poorly on the guitar. And Dylan's kind of walking around like looking like, hey man, and you know, I kind of like, that's another web series I want to see. It's just them out in the woods doing whatever they're doing.
Hashtag Dunkle.
Exactly. Emma, though, we get a special delivery from a burnout, as Emma calls her.
I love Emma so much. I love that idea. They're just jamming all those weed plants in her car, and up she goes.
By the way, I just a quick note, that first scene with Emma, dressing all hot and everything, we can't forget that, too. I don't know where we're going to throw that in.
Nando's
there,
still got a sheen. I think he's still sweating.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cute. Olivia Cooke.
It's like little Emma, the heart of the show, playing the seductress.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
so cute.
One moment she's a seductress, the next moment she's delivery girl with the pot in there, and she's just like trying to drive with leaves all over and everything. Yeah.
And Norman's, you know, oh, you look nice today. He goes, oh, you know, this, yeah, I thought I changed it up. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, this
notice.
Old thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway. She's like right now, hot Thelma from Scooby-Doo. She's on like a hot Thelma kick.
It's good for her. So she delivers the weed. She realizes that, oh, that's the uncle. That's, you know.
I love that she played it so well. You can tell on her face exactly what she was thinking.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's so interesting that when Caleb introduces Dylan, he introduces him as his son.
Right.
But when Dylan introduces Caleb, he introduces him as his uncle. And if they keep doing this, they're going to run into some problems.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I thought it was interesting that he could go. What's dude's name on the other side of the hill?
Creepy cryptic guy, Chick.
So Chick when you meet Chick, I mean, that doesn't matter. Like Chick's crazy mountain man, you know, doesn't matter what we say to Chick. So I think that was a nice opportunity for Caleb to introduce Dylan as a son. But obviously, Emma matters. Emma's in town. Yeah. If he said that to Emma, she would blow up quick.
It's supposed to be a cover. Saying uncle, I think, rather than dunkle or dad. Yeah. But what they don't realize is that Norma's already confessed all this stuff to Emma.
Right, she
previously.
Knows. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And Emma does bring up to Dylan, she was like, does Norma know that he's in town? Because I know they don't get along. And Dylan says, please don't say anything. Now, we know how good that Emma is at keeping secrets.
I was going to mention, like, Emma once again is put in this compromising position of like, where she Emma, don't tell anything. She's like, oh, promise.
Until something happens, I don't promise anymore.
Yeah. I think that Emma will end up telling Norman, probably.
Did you detect any kind of weird? Am I just reading into this? Any kind of weird sort of like, I don't want to say flirtation.
Yeah, but no, you were right.
Between Dylan and Emma, or was Dylan kind of looking at her like, oh, Emma?
No. There was,
you brought the weed plants up?
Well, there was a little something going on. And shades of what's her name? Bradley.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Well, it's three men in the woods. Like, you seclude three men in a wood for a certain amount of time. A woman comes along and, you know, shit's bound to happen.
And not for anything. Dylan's got that thing. I mean, women, you know.
You only have so much cedar there. I
mean. And it's just not for that. Yeah. I mean, the splinters alone will kill you.
All right. That's no more jokes.
Men alone with cedar.
Cedar, I barely know her.
That was really good.
That's terrible. All right, so seriously.
But I did. I thought there was some. I thought there was a little something, something.
Right. Okay, we'll see if that plays out.
Don't write me. You said it. I agreed with you. You're welcome.
I'm asking. So back to we talked about the two previous Romero confrontations. There was actually a third Romero dude-on-dude confrontation. He comes to the house to pay Norman a visit to sort of further his investigation. And he opens the door, and Norman's very much like, oh, you know, Alex, we're cooking dinner. Good to see you. He's like, I'm sorry. This is a business.
It's not a social call. I wonder how many times Romero has knocked on that door.
Far too many. And so he goes inside, and you know what? And Norman comes and is like, no, I've got this. I can answer the questions. And Norma's being a normal protective self. And God love her. She's trying to protect her son. But we see this new, like, Norman. Norman bossed up. Like, he was really... Like, his chest was out. He's like, you know, I got this, mother. You know,
He was angry, and we don't find this out until later because he heard what Romero was saying to Norma, the fact that you're the one that told me that the last person to be seen with Annika was Norman. And I think that pissed him off so much that he's like, I'm going to be a man. You go. I know where the kitchen is. If I need you, I'll summon you.
Go make dinner.
Go make dinner.
It's that weird,
take off your shoes while you're at it.
Yeah.
It's that crazy line between mother, girlfriend, because their relationship is so mushy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it is mushy.
It's such a blurry thing. You know, number one, who talks to their girlfriend that way except any young kid who's trying something out? And, you know, I'm going to say, like, well, this is how guys did. Yeah, do it. Get out of here.
Something tells me you tried it out once.
Yeah, right. Are you referring to Norma as Norman's girlfriend?
I'm saying the line between the two of them is mushy. And
it's the dynamic.
And their dynamic in that scene, I think, was intentionally mushy and bizarre because, number one, you don't speak to your girlfriend that way, like I said, unless you're a young kid trying it out or an idiot. And then the other thing is...
That's not how you speak to Aaron?
Wouldn't that be hilarious? You'd be sleeping on your couch.
Exactly. Yeah.
One time, that's
right,
it.
Visiting it.
Right?
I miss you. I have to sleep on your couch now.
Here lies Joe Sample.
Right?
Joe, how'd you get that black eye?
I won't talk about it.
But so there's that mushy line that they were living. And you would never talk to your mother that way. Who would even consider talking to their mom that way? So I think, you know, it's not just that Norman's kind of manning up. And it's this manning up within the bizarre confines of his relationship with mom, which is inherently... incestuous and not incest. It's just that. So it made such a layered scene.
I did. I loved Norman's sort of body language on the couch.
Pimping it up.
My man had his arm up.
Oh,
legs were crossed. He was leaned back.
What'd you want to talk about?
He was like, Annika. Yeah. And of course the great line of, like, you know, well, she said she's going to a party. I didn't think she was a magician.
Yeah.
Am I right, Romero?
I really think
up top, Romero.
Yeah.
They should have had some cigars. That should have been the scene in the Arcanum Club.
Yeah.
A couple cigars and just hanging around and going, hey.
Yeah.
I really feel that Norman was challenging Mother Norma at that moment. Right. Just the way.
That's really a really good point. After that, she comes out.
Yeah, I really feel like that's what he was channeling at that moment. It was Mother Norma doing all those lies or trying to do that ruse. Because it was oddly, like, it seemed like it should be, like, with champagne and or martini glasses and cigars, but at the same time, it seemed really awkward for him, but he was playing it 100%.
Well, and also his hand gestures, if you notice, it's like his hand gestures almost start becoming a little bit feminine as well.
Yes, the DNA dance.
You know what I like? One of the other things I liked about the scene is watching Nestor, because that had to be a discussion, too, because, you know, you could go about that a number of different ways. If you're a sheriff... And you're a grown man, right? You're in your mid to late 40s. You've been running this town for a long time. You've seen.
Slow down.
Is he in his mid to late 40s?
Mid to late 40s.
Maybe early 40s. I have no idea how old Nestor is. I'm saying the character.
That's Joseph Flippo Nestor.
I'm presuming. Anyway, at any rate, so you've been around a long time. You've seen all kinds of big shots come and go. And here's this 18-year-old kid who's deciding to play this way. And I would imagine you, as an actor or as the sheriff, whatever, however you want to view it, you could play it like you could laugh at him. Like, this is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't choose to do that. He took him seriously.
Well,
he played the game with him.
But he did kind of challenge him. There was a moment. Because, like I said, it's one of these, you know, guy, it's our third version of the guy and guy thing. Like, you know, the guy.
That's a very different show.
That's a different web series.
But what happened, so Norman's bossed up, and Norman's got his arm up, and he's got a thing going out. And then Romero comes up to him. He's like, okay, Norman. He's like, you know, women trust you, don't they? They trust you. He's like, well, yeah, because Blair Watson trusted you. Like, right? Like, come on, Norman. And he's like, well, you know, I'm close to women. I like women. And so it's kind of that was Romero trying to get something out of him. The way he delivered that line and looked at him like, Blair Watson trusted you. Hmm? And Norman didn't blink. He rolled with it and just started startling him a little bit. Another thing that Norman kind of shook him, which I kind of like, almost played for laughs, when, you know, have you seen this girl? And he kind of goes, no. Nope, never saw her.
Which, that's a really interesting. Do you guys think that he's seen that girl before?
That face that he did.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely had something going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, his face that he did. All right, so.
Did that just say 5 minutes?
Yeah, yes. We started 20 minutes late.
I'd like to apologize to everyone.
All right, so we'll save that for next time, Joe. We have to.
Okay.
Okay, it's good. Dude, I had a little special thing that we were going to do, but we're out of time. But before
Flippo ruined it.
But before we get to that, we have to sort of unpack this last sort of Norman going Norman scene at the very end. I mean, starting with the it started with Emma and Norman, that conversation, and Norman sort of really, well, there's an initial argument after Romero came through when Norman really challenged Norma and sort of got in his face and said, you know, on the staircase looking down at her and really walking down the staircase and getting in her face, which is really brilliantly shot, brilliantly executed.
Absolutely.
And Norma was like really genuinely like, oh shit, like he means business. And that was that. Then we come back and we see, Norman kind of cracking with Emma, like sort of, you know, going through the whole thing and like, and Emma's trying to tease it out of him with what's going on. I'm trying to be there for you. And she says that one line of like, you know, it makes you feel like that people think I did it or whatever. And she's like, what'd you do or do what? Like, because Emma's like, what
the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. What happened?
I can't answer this. I gotta go.
Right. That's very, yeah. But yeah. I can't talk about this right now.
Out. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she chased him, stopped running away from me, and then the confrontation there. And finally,
can I say one thing in that scene? Because Norman said something that is very, very pivotal. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how his mother doesn't trust him, and he goes, I just feel outside of her.
Yes, I wrote that down too. Yes, that is a great pickup. I wrote that down as well. That's a very telling line. When he's talking, having that conversation with Emma, he's like, I just feel outside of her. Like,
yep.
What does that mean? You know,
he wants to get inside of her.
And we also know, I mean, you know, it's just, according to Joe Flippo, he does. But I think that...
I don't like it when you say it. It's weird when you say it. Inferring it is fine, but saying it is weird.
But obviously we think, you know, they have a certain closeness. They're very, very close. Now he feels like, you know, what he's trying to articulate, presuming, is like, they don't feel as close. We're not as close. We used to be so close, and now I don't feel as close to her. But his choice of words are, I feel outside of her.
Yep.
Now we know ultimately that Norman, it's starting now, but Norman sort of inhabits her. He does ultimately, as Psycho, get inside of her because he becomes her.
Yep.
So it's really, that's a very interesting, that's your first sort of like Easter egg, like, wow, why did you say that? Mm-hmm. So that argument happens, and then he storms out of there, goes upstairs, and has a really telling confrontation with Norma, like in the bedroom, where he's like really cracking. It's sort of heartbreaking. The first time I watched it again, it was sort of like, oh, he's going crazy. The second time was really heartbreaking because he said, look, mom, mother, I stayed in this world for you. I stayed here for you. I was willing.
What game are we playing now? I should be in jail. We're putting the cards on the table a little bit.
Well,
yep.
But like, you know I killed her. I know I killed her. I'm only here for you.
But here's you can see the break. Where the break is for poor Norman is like, look, man, I'm only in this world for you. I was willing to say I killed her. I was willing to kill myself and be out of this world and be done, but I'm here for you. And now you are playing games with me. Now you are telling Romero that I'm, you know, that could be a killer. Like, what game are we playing here?
Yeah.
I thought we're on the same side. Now I don't know what side. I have no idea what's going on. The one thing that he knows and the one place he finds solace is his mother. And now she's sort of betraying him. Mm-hmm. And that is effing him up.
And
he's laying in the bed, he can't remember, and then he breaks.
And then you got to layer on that the fact that he doesn't necessarily... I'm sure that he doesn't know what version of mother he's actually talking to,
right?
Because he doesn't know that he's manifesting a fake mom in his head.
Well, I think he does.
He does now. No, he does now.
Yeah, he does now.
Carl Hughes said that, you know, this season, as we see him becoming Norman, there will be a moment where we'll start to see Norman lose track of the real mother and Mother Norma. But it hasn't happened.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. So he does. And before we get out, he does a thing. He has a mirror
because he was so angry, and him and his mother were having such an argument. But the second that Mother Norma was in the bathroom, he wasn't mad at her anymore because he knew that it was a manifestation.
Right.
Interesting. Okay, so we're saying that he's going to lose track of that later on.
He's aware, but he's definitely going to lose track of that later on, and then, you know, slips further and further into that space where he doesn't know what's real, what's not real, and then even further into that space where we see him in Psycho, where he's like, hello, Norman. And he's doing the voice. Yeah. Like, when that voice
Norman's
comes
sleeping.
Out, when Freddie Highmore starts doing Vera Farmiga's voice, it's a wrap. That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah,
like
I can't wait till they start.
Hello, Joseph LeBeau.
Do you think? Do you
Can
think
I make you some pie?
We gotta zoom forward here, but yes. One quick question: do you think that Norma's other persona was trying to kill Norman?
Yeah, so that's a really
so
that's the question. Was that a suicide attempt?
Yes, because
subconscious suicide.
Because he was really trying. He said, "I stayed here for you. I'm trying to go. Norman wants to go."
So if Norma had not broken in the door, would he have died?
Maybe. Yes. Yeah, I think so. Because Norman is trying to go, and ultimately we'll see that the death of Norman in the rebirth.
Oh, that's crazy. Because I didn't think, because it was interesting from the point of view that they told it from. But yeah, right. I think you're absolutely right, Nando.
It's a great
I think his alter ego was trying to kill him.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is ultimately what may happen, and so. But again, Norma saves him, and things seem to be okay in the bedroom.
Well, we are running super short on time, so can we get into the final scene and right into
that final scene? Yeah.
I mean, that's scene.
It's, Annika's alive.
Annika is not dead. That's huge.
Or Annika was alive.
Yes.
she actually was alive.
So Annika pulls up and
BMW this time.
She's very happy. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Porsche's going on BMW. She's very happy, like enormous happy. But we see Annika. She looks hurt. She collapses. She's bleeding. She gives her what looks like a flash drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And says, you know, use this for you and your son.
Use it for you and your son.
You know, do something with it.
Do something with this. This is important.
Which I think that somebody's probably going to come looking for that soon.
Right. And then, and I'm sure it's Kevin Ram. And then, so that happens, which is, you know, wow. That's a big shocking moment. And then she seems to sort of go pass out. Norma runs in and calls 911 and says someone's been shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's dead. She ain't dead.
I hope not.
I'm going to say she's not dead.
I heard in one of the previews, Romero was saying two girls are dead. And so from that, and my predictions are now always wrong.
Can we say last week right now?
Yeah, let's go to predictions.
Alexis, I'm sorry. Let's go to predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Okay. And we did say that she's only listed in IMDb for two episodes.
Yes.
We did say that last week.
Well,
yeah.
So this could be your second episode. It's not necessarily, you know, fact, but still.
Do I go? Predictions.
So I have a theory.
That's what I hear.
Okay. This is my theory.
Okay. Theory.
Because the girl that was in the mosh, they never named her.
Oh.
I think her name is Annika.
Oh.
And I think that Annika, the girl that, I think that she was posing as Annika. I think that when Norman drove her in the Porsche, she went to go meet this girl. That's why Norman gave that face when he saw the picture, because he had seen her before, because that was the girl that she was going to meet. She murders her, assumes her identity as Annika to go to this party to receive some information. It gets hairy, and that BMW was actually the girl, the dead girl's BMW. And I think that Romero is going to be like, the dead girl is BMW is now parked at Bates Motel. We need some answers here. That is what I think.
Best dropping ever.
She's thought this through.
That's a hot theory. Yes. That's a good one.
That's my theory.
You admit you got a theory.
Yeah.
You've been writing it for 45 minutes. I don't have nothing.
I ain't got nothing. I'm gonna 45 minutes.
You've been scribbling your
theory.
I just
ripped it in half.
It was just pictures of puppies. That's all it was.
Nando.
He's gonna sell it on eBay later.
Prediction. I love her prediction. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Is she going to just silence the whole crew?
Well, we're short on time anyway.
She might drop this?
I think she did. That might be mic drop. Good night, Wisconsin, right there.
She dropped,
dropped the mic.
I'm just going to say, I do like your theory a lot. My theory is that, you know, Annika's not dead yet. I mean, the old Annika.
You were right last week.
Yeah, I'm right. She's not dead yet. Look, Tracy Spradackles has been dying for 3 MF episodes. She's been dying. every week she's been dying. She's not dead yet, but I think that, yeah, I like your theory too. So let's go with that. That's it. What an action packed episode.
So good.
Yeah.
We've got more. We're counting down to episode 5 that Nestor Carbonell directed. Hopefully we'll get him in there. But episode 4, we'll watch that next week, and that should be very revealing as well.
And then episode 7, we find out everything about my future boyfriend Romero.
Yes. He's coming back. You know.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I'll play this clip. He's married. You know.
Yeah.
Flippo, where can we find you?
Dewey's been experimenting with various things to put in his drink.
Yes.
Nestor doesn't need a ride home. I got it.
Why am I creepy all of a sudden?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not the one sprinkling stuff in Nestor's drink.
Where can you find you, sir?
You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo. My website is josephsanflippo.com.
All right, and Instagram. Go.
Hi, you can find me at Dua Casey at Dua Casey.
It's so hot here.
or outside of Nestor Carbonell's window. Oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm just
Nando.
And you could find me at Nando Vell on Twitter and Instagram, N-A-N-D-O-V-E-L, and here in After Buzz for other stuff.
Yep.
Other stuff.
Other stuff.
And,
other
stuff. And outside Olivia Cook's window. Well, that would be really creepy.
How about you, Braswell?
Find me.
We're bookending the stalkers here. This is not
this. It's really creepy. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. You can find me here at AfterBuzz doing other stuff as well. You can find me outside of Freddie Highmore's window.
Now it's all gotten really weird.
Okay. Right.
Norman's sleeping.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.